Amen.
Thank you, Charles. Sounds and noises. I didn't know it was lightning like it was, storm. I told one of the preachers a while ago, ain't it good that we have something, a storm will be so bad in here, we don't know it's a storming out there. And I didn't even have no idea it's raining or nothing. Amen, awfully storm on earth going on out there. And I appreciate your presence here. Certainly tonight, privilege to be back in the tabernacle. And you got to be careful. You want to keep this thing going. Amen. I used to preach. It's called the El Bethel account meeting, Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I preached that in the late 90s, 2001, right on 2002. You know, they sold that grounds and that building, and it is no more. And I tell you, boy, what an honor it was to stand there and think about the great men of God that stood there, Charles, before me. And they sold that thing. No such thing as El Bethel Camp Meeting no more. That's a shame and a disgrace. And so you got to watch out and be careful. Nip everything in a bud that looks like it's headed in that direction. And keep it going for God. Well, I'm glad, thank God, there are a few places around you and still go and feel God. Yes, sir. And obey the Lord. If you've got a Bible, you want to follow in the scripture, turn, if you will, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I'm interested in verse 14. If you're physically able, I'll ask you to stand in reverence to one who wrote the book. Colossians 1:14. If you ain't able, don't worry about it. I've been there. And God understands, and I do too, if you ain't able to stand. And right here's what it says. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Boy, I feel it a-coming, men. Hallelujah. Even the forgiveness of sins. Father, I thank you, sir, for your word this time together in the good house of God. I pray you'd move in our midst, speak to our hearts, to help us to respond accordingly. God, I can't, but you can. And I come to allow you. Somebody get lost, I pray they get saved. Somebody with another need, they bring it to you. Now, sir, and find help at thy hand. I'll praise you and glorify you. Tell everybody you did it all. For it's in Jesus' name I do humbly pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Hallelujah. Well, I've got my row full back there again tonight now. Amen. Yes, sir. Hey, Carolyn, that ain't your sweater, is it? Okay. Just checking. I knew if it was, I'd have to buy another. Hallelujah. Boy, she's giving me some grim looks long about now. She's one of them people that don't like no recognition. She wants to stay in the background, amen, out of sight. But I appreciate my family. I'm glad, thank God, I've got a church-going family. And all my young'uns ever knowed is preaching and praying, singing and shouting. That's what they growed up on, boy. That's all they ever knew, my grandchildren. And I thank God for that tonight. All right, the Bible has said here, in whom talking about Jesus, of course, we have redemption. Boy, I like that word, don't you? Glad I've been redeemed. O.A.J. Gordon, that great man of God of another year, sitting on his porch one evening, saw a little boy coming down the road and had something in his hand. He called him over and he said, "Son, what do you got there in that old cage?" He said, "A couple old field spurs, preacher." He said, "What are you going to do with them?" He said, "Well, I can't lie to you, preacher." He said, "I'm going to play with them, torment them, and I'll put them to death." Well, he said, "Son, that's cruel. Don't do that." He said, "I'll buy them from you." Well, he said, "You don't want these old birds. They're just old common field sparrows." He said, "I'll give you $2 for them." Little old boy tickled death, get $2. He said, "Well, for $2, you can have this old cage." Went off down the sidewalk whistling, boy, $2 in his pocket. Old Gordon said he took them birds out in the backyard, raised a little rusty cage door, and he said them two birds flew out and winged their way to the sky blue heaven. And he said it seemed to him like they're singing, "Redeemed, redeemed." So what, preacher? The devil had me. But along came Jesus. "What do you got there, devil?" "I got an old mountain boy from the hills of Tennessee." "What are you going to do with him, devil?" "Well, I'm going to play with him, torment him, take him to hell." "Don't do that, devil. I'll buy him from you." "Because it's you, Jesus, it'll cost you the silver of your tears and the gold of your blood." Hallelujah. And up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morning, walk Christ my Savior weary and worn. And with the silver of his tears and the gold of his blood, thank God he bought me. And now I can rear back and sing, "Redeemed, redeemed. Thank God I'm heaven bound." Even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Well, God's holding out those words out of that verse tonight through his blood. I'd just like to pull over the next few minutes and preach on through his blood. We can't make too much out of the blood, mister. Hallelujah. Thank God for that blood that was shed. Keep us out of hell. And boy, I think about right off the bat how that was special blood. Why do you say that, preacher? Well, according to Acts 20:28, he had the blood of God. Huh? Now, I'm told for the first 3 months of a young'un's life when it's been conceived, it survives on its mother's blood. First 3 months. But after 3 months, begins to develop bone marrow and produce its own blood. Now, that may be true with children, natural born young'uns. But I can tell you about a baby that got here with his father's blood. I'm telling you, he is different. Yeah, that was special blood. The blood of God. And hot on the heels of that, let me say, that made it sinless blood. See, that's what sets us apart. I've got Adam's blood in my veins. You've got Adam's blood. That's why we catch that old Hong Kong flu and all that stuff. We've got tainted blood. But I don't see in that book where Jesus ever got up one morning and said, I ain't feeling well. I can't find where he told them disciples, men, you're going to have to travel without me today. I've got a headache. My God, how long would he have lived if they hadn't killed him? He had the blood of God, sinless blood. He had to have, amen, to be the Lamb. Amen, without fault, without sin. Blessed be God to die for you and me. I heard about a preacher, Charles, one Sunday morning. He said, is there anybody here without sin? And lo and behold, as a man stood up, he said, Mister, you mean to tell me you're without sin? He said, no, sir. I'm standing on behalf of my wife's first husband. Well, now, she might have thought he was sinless and that he was without fault, but we know better, don't we? Yes, sir. Never was but one without sin. Amen. Lamb of God out of heaven, boy. He had sinless blood. And then he had sacrificial blood. Under the Old Testament economy, that altar cried out constantly, sacrifice, sacrifice. Once a year, that high priest had to go in there, sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat behind the veil. That altar hollering, sacrifice, sacrifice. But these days it ain't hollering J.D. sacrifice, it's hollering satisfied. Yeah, thank God for the last 2,000 years. Satisfied! His blood satisfied that altar. Hallelujah. And then my friend, listen, that's saving blood. Yes, sir, there's salvation in that blood. Old George Truett pastored First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas for years. You know, I found out something, men, about that old man of God. They said he come 4 hours early before he went to the pulpit, preacher, and prayed for 4 hours. My God, can you imagine that? I've kind of got Sunday morning straight and squared away in my head by 2 o'clock in the morning. Get up at 6, rush around, get there by 9:30. And they said he is there 4 hours before he went to the pulpit praying. Radio stations in Dallas, Texas brought their microphones and sat around his pulpit trying to catch every word he said. It was of such significance and without charge, free of charge. He's such a man of God. And is it anyone prayed 4 hours? Or? My God. Boy, we need some of that today, don't we? I believe it'd make a difference in our country if we had some of that kind today. Boy. And oh, Truett saw one Sunday morning one of his women come in. It was a nurse carrying a little old radio. Came to him, she said, preacher, I can't stay for your message today. She said, I've been assigned to sit and as part of my job with the most wicked, corrupt women in this city. And said, now I'm going to be listening to you on the radio. And I want to be on that. She's going to be listening to you too. That old man of God preached on the blood that Sunday morning. That nurse called him after dinner. And she said, preacher, that old woman was touched by your message. Said, I believe somebody ought to visit her out of the church. He said, I'll go myself. He said he stepped up on the porch of that little old run down the house that day. He said the screen door was hanging by one hinge. He said he knocked on that door and heard a faint come in. He said he walked in, and there was an old hospital bed in the middle of the living room floor. And that little old woman in that hospital bed, he said the sheets on that bed was so dirty, there's gray. And he said that woman's hair was so greasy, it looked wet. And he said he walked over and said, "Ma'am, I'm George Truett," and held out his hand and said she put both her hands under that old gray sheet. And she said, "I can't shake hands with you, preacher. I've been so vile and corrupt, I can't shake your hand." He said, "I fell down by her bedside and I began to pray." He said, "I don't know how long I prayed, but I prayed a long time." He said, "While I was praying, I felt a hand on my shoulder." And said, "I looked up and that old woman had taken her hand out from that old gray sheet, laid it on my shoulder, and said, she said, 'Preacher, I'd shake your hand now. I just had a bath in the blood.'" Boy, that's what the blood can do for you, ain't it? Hallelujah. Boy, if old Truett's still around, I'd like to tell him my story, J.D. I had a similar experience. I got a phone call from a man that said, "I've got a relative in Johnson City Hospital and said she's dying, preacher. They just give her a few days to live. And said, far as I know, she's lost. And said, she's asking for you." I said, "I'll go." I went into that hospital room that next day. She burst into tears. She said, "Preacher, they say I'm dying. Got a few days to live at the most." And she said, "I wanted to see you and see if you'd have my funeral service." I said, "Yes, ma'am, if I'm around, I will." I said, "What do you want?" And boy, I tell you, I never heard this before. She said, "I don't want no preaching, and I don't want no singing." She said, "I want my body brought to Spring Creek Church as a place for my relatives to fellowship and my acquaintances. And I don't want no preaching, I don't want no singing." She said at the graveside service next morning, "I don't want no preaching, I don't want no singing." I said, "All right, honey, that's the way you want it, that's the way it'll be." I said, "Now we've got that preparation out of the way. How do you stand being prepared to meet God?" She said, "I'm not." Well, I said, "Don't you think it's about time you did something about that? Them are telling you you're a dying woman." She said, "I can't." I said, "What?" She said, "I can't get saved." I said, "Pray tell me, why not?" She said, "Preacher, you don't know me." She said, "I've done stuff I wouldn't want you to know." She said, "I've been so vile and corrupt and mean, I can't get saved." Boy, it's amazing how God will give you the answer when you put on the spot. I stood beside her bed that day and I said, "Honey, that's what qualifies you for salvation." I said, "Jesus didn't come to save the righteous." I said, "He came to save that which was lost." I said, "My God, that's what qualifies you." I said, "That's how I got saved. That's what qualified me." And boy, it was like a light bulb come on, preacher, in her head, and she burst into prayer. Praying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me." I got so excited, I forgot about getting this straightened up about no preaching, no singing, you know. Well, she didn't make it but a week. They brought her body to Spring Creek Church. Big crowd turned up, relatives and acquaintances. And I happen to remember, no preaching, no singing. And I thought, "I'm going to keep my word." But I didn't promise her I wouldn't testify. And boy, I told that crowd there that night. What happened in Lou's room? And how she saw she is qualified to get saved. I found out there somewhere that night of the same opinion, J.D. Amen. Got right with God. Amen. Next morning, 10 o'clock in the graveyard, I stood there and I happened to remember no preaching, no singing. But I didn't say I wouldn't testify. Amen. I stood in that graveyard and testified. My God, how that's what qualified her. I found out there's some more around that was of that same opinion. Thought they'd been too wicked and evil and corrupt to get saved. Thank God that's the crowd he come for, wasn't it? Hallelujah. That's how I got in on it. Yes, sir. That's how you got in on it. He didn't come for the righteous, did he? Woo, hallelujah to his name. What a God's blessing. Boy, that's saving blood. It's amazing what that blood will do. That old songwriter's right on target when he said there's power in the blood. I made 25 trips to the island of Jamaica. Take a bunch of preachers with me, you know. And we had over 4,000 people saved one trip to that island. I had a preacher down a little old place called Johnsonville right by the sea. And Brother Mike's bed had a mosquito net, you know, you let down over it of a night to survive. I saw him after the first night there, and he said, "Preacher," I woke up the next morning, he said, "they must have been 3,000 mosquitoes sitting on that mosquito net." And he said, "there's Christians." I said, "how do you know?" He said, "they're singing, there's power in the blood." And boy, ain't that the God's truth. Wonder-working power. Thank God in the blood of the Lamb, mister. Yes, sir. I'm thinking about a woman. Her name was Grace Adkins. She had an unusual way of introducing herself. She'd say, "I'm Grace Adkins. Do you believe in Easter?" You'll have to admit, quite an unusual way to introduce yourself. And she had a doctor by the name of Will Phillips, old man. Had a nurse by the name of Beverly. Beverly was checking her vital signs one day. And Grace said, "Beverly, do you believe in Easter?" "Oh, yeah." "What do you believe about it?" "Well, that's a day we dress up and have a meal and family gets together." "Oh," she said, "Beverly, they more to it than that." She told that nurse how Jesus came, suffered, bled, and died, rose again the third day morning, and they're taking her blood pressure and vital signs. Beverly got saved. Amen. Right with God. Boy, they called her in one day, J.D., and she's called in to see Doc Phillips, and he is looking all downcast, discouraged. She said, "What's the matter with you, Will Phillips?" She said, "Ain't you been reading your Bible like you ought to? Ain't you been praying like you should?" He said, "Now just shut up, Grace. I'm the doctor, you're the patient. You listen to me." He said, "Your tests came back and they're not good." He said, "You're not long for this old world, Grace." And here he is all discouraged. She said, "Now, Will," she said, "here you are with my ticket to heaven and to see my Lord, and you're reluctant to give it to me? What's the matter with you, doctor?" Make a long story short, Grace was put in the hospital. And for days, everybody come and go out of that room. "Do you believe in Easter?" And she witnessed to them about what the Lord had done. And everybody was taken up with her except the head nurse, woman by the name of Phyllis Cross. She thought Grace was some kind of religious nut, didn't want nothing to do with her. Stayed out of her room all she could. One day she's shorthanded and had to go to take Grace's vital signs. And Grace said, "Phyllis, where have you been? I've been praying for you." She said, "Now you might as well hush, Grace." She said, "I'm not into this stuff. I don't want to hear it. Nonetheless, Phyllis, I'm a praying for you." Boy, listen, a few days was Easter week, you know. And that head nurse later testified, she said one day she felt the awfulest urge to go to Grace Adkins' room, and said she walked in and said, Grace said, "Why, Phyllis, where you been? I've been praying for you." She said, "Grace, I've got a question." She said, "Everybody that comes and goes out of this room, you ask them, do you believe in Easter except me? And you never did ask me, Grace." She said, "That's because it wasn't time, Phyllis." Said, "Now that you brought it up, it's time." She reached and got her old black Bible. And in a few minutes' time, that head nurse bowed her head over Grace's bed and prayed, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." That Saturday, Phyllis was off. She went down to the floral shop and bought a dozen roses to take to Grace on Easter Sunday morning. Took them up to that room, walked in, said Grace was laying there, big old smile on her face, hands on her old black Bible, but she is gone. She laid them flyers down across the bed, stepped out in the hall, and saw two student nurses sitting at a table. Went down, sat down in front of them, looked them right in the eye and said, "I'm Phyllis Cross. Do you believe in Easter?" My God, that's what the blood can do, buddy. There's power, wonder-working power. Thank God in the blood. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's saving blood, special blood. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And then, boy, that's satisfying blood, ain't it? It's a satisfying thing to be heaven bound tonight, Charles. Lord God, what a blessing. I wouldn't turn my hand over sometime to be there. Amen. I get to count once in a while. I got more over there now than I've got on this side. I've been to Spring Creek 42 years. I got more church members across the river than I've got on this side. Yes, sir, these days. Done had their funeral and bid them farewell, boy, down here. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. A crossing myself. It's satisfying. Be saved and heaven bound. Thank God. I was telling somebody here last night, we was talking about little old William being in Korea. I wasn't old enough for Korea, but I was old enough for Vietnam. And I stayed in Fort Jackson, South Carolina during those days. We go down every Monday morning. They'd post our orders, you know, every Monday morning. And if you got a California address posted, you know you was Vietnam bound. And where your mail went through California, you know. And I watched as they brought them old boys back out of Vietnam, half out of their mind. I was as physically fit in them days as any of them. I was as well trained as any of them. But God didn't see fit to let me go. Me and Carolyn saw that wall in Washington, got all them names of them boys that died in them rice paddies in Vietnam. I rubbed my hand over that wall, boys I had basic training with, went and didn't come back. But God knew I'd need to stand here tonight and preach His Word. I stayed in Fort Jackson, South Carolina the whole time of Vietnam. And I watched them bring them back in their high-fowler mind, trying to get them sane enough to turn loose in society. I mean, half out of their head. I mean, they trained us to kill, buddy. Anybody throwed 5 gallons of blood on us, we wouldn't have flinched. I mean, we're trained for one reason. That's to take care of the enemy's problem, man. And I watched them half out of their mind come back in there. One old boy, I mean, he'd do all right unless it come a storm like we had here last night. And he said with every clap of thunder, he said he could hear them helicopters overhead. And he'd go half out of his mind. One such stormy night, thunder a clapping him a jumping straight up and screaming. Told his wife, he said, honey, he said, I believe if you get me to my daddy's house, that it'd help me. He said, I remember when I was a boy how daddy put his arms around me and said, son, you don't have to be afraid. I'm going to take care of you. He said, I believe you. I know I'm a grown man, and I know it sounds funny, but if you get me to my daddy's house, I believe it'd help me. 3 o'clock in the morning, she put him in the car, took him across town to his daddy's house. His mama come to the door. He said, Mom, I know it sounds funny, and I'm a grown man. He said, I'm going crazy, Mom. And I believe if I get around Daddy, it'd help me. She said, go in there and lay down beside of him. And he said, he did that. He said, there's a clap of thunder, and he jumped straight up and screamed. And he said, his daddy took his hand, put it on his chest, and pushed him down in the bed and said, son, you ain't got a thing to worry about. I'm here. I ain't letting nothing harm you. Ain't nothing going to hurt you. I'm right here beside of you, and I'm going to take care of you. And he said, just the touch of my father's hand. He said, I laid down and slept till the day dawned. Boy, I know what it's like. Man, listen, sometimes the thunder's a sound and the lightning a flash. But Lord God, if I can feel the touch of my father's hand, I'm good for another mile for God, buddy. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. Much as anything on earth, you just need to feel the touch of your father's hand. I mean, it seemed like this old world's been a-closing in on you. If you just feel the touch of your father's hand, it'd make all the difference in the whole wide world tonight. Don't be ashamed. Amen. To get in that altar tonight and tell God, amen, what you got on your heart. Amen. But now you figured out how you don't do you no good sitting in the back. My pulpit's portable. I'll come where you are. Yes, sir. Boy, listen, they ain't nothing like the touch of your father's hand, is there? Lord God, in the world are closing in. Problems are mounting up. But if I just feel the touch of his hand, thank God I'm good for another mile for Jesus. Amen. Yes, sir. Where's my musicians at? Amen. Come on to the instruments tonight, girls. Fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose their old guilty stains, can't they? Little baby boy was born into the home of Christian parents. They named him William. And they asked the Lord to find a place of service for their son. Play it for me, ladies. Things went well. They got to running around the wrong crowd. They frequented an old bar that was so vile and wicked and corrupt they called it the gates of hell. They'd have mockery church services and somebody pretend to preach, pretend to sing hymns. One occasion they decided they was going to have communion. Passed out the bread and the wine, little old cups. William was there. He said, came time in her mockery of communion service to drink the cup. He said he started to his mouth, and God spoke to him and said, boy, if you put that to your lips, I'll put you in hell. Now you just go ahead and put it to your mouth, but I'll put you in hell. He screamed, somebody get me to my daddy's. Threw him in the car and throwed him out on the porch, and he wallered around under conviction. And after a while, they heard him, let him in, went and sat down at his mama's table and wrote the words of this song. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose their old guilt and stains. Boy, I love that second stanza, man. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, woo, hallelujah, wash all my sins away. Thank God that happened to me, mister. April 16th, 1953, that happened to me. What a God's blessing it is tonight to have our sins washed away. I used to shout over the fact that my sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. I'd shout over the fact they're buried in the deep of the sea. I was in the pulpit one night, and God spoke to my heart and said, preacher, don't you think it's about time you got out of the Old Testament and got in the New? For you see, when you come from Malachi to Matthew, they ain't just buried in the deep of the sea. They ain't just separated. Thank God they're gone. Washed away by the rich red blood of the Lamb. Man, they're gone. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. I don't know how in the name of God I stay as quiet as I do. Amen. What a blessing to know tonight my sins are gone. God looks at me as if I had never sinned. Yes, sir. What a God's blessing that is while we stand all over the tabernacle tonight. I don't know how God's speaking to you, but if he is, it's your invitation. Come on to Jesus, would you? God bless you, man. God bless you. Preacher Bob, I don't know about another, and God's speaking to my heart. Come on to Jesus. Amen. There's somebody tonight here I preach to. Much as anything under heaven, you just need to feel the touch of your Father's hand. Amen. Come on to Jesus, would you? I never take for granted everybody's saved. You're here tonight lost and undone without God. He'll save you if you'll ask him to. You can go home, pillow your head, not have to worry about hell no more. Heaven bound, amen. Come on to Jesus, would you? Others of you, amen, tonight. Something welling up in your heart in the way of gratitude, you just like to get around this old altar and thank the good Lord for that blood that washed your sins away. Hallelujah. Preacher Bob, I don't know about another, but God's speaking to my heart. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, honey. That's right. Mine, God. Come on to Jesus. come on to Jesus. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Amen for your honesty. God bless you, sir. Preacher Bob, don't know about another, and God's speaking to my heart. Come on to Jesus, would you? God bless you, honey. That's right, my God, you'll never regret it in this life or the life to come. And then the others of you, maybe it ain't no personal need tonight. Maybe the need of another. Might be a grandson or a granddaughter, a boy, a girl, somebody near and dear to your heart. You need to come call her name to God tonight. This old altar's wide open. Come on to Jesus. Would you come on to Jesus? God loves you, wants to help you if you'll let him. Come on to Jesus. Boy, I'm here to tell you, they ain't nothing like the touch of your Father's hand. What a God's blessing, boy. Amen, to find an old altar. Touch me, Lord. Touch me, God. Thank God he'll do it. He'll do it. Anybody else, we're going to pray and go home. God bless you, man. God bless you. Anybody else before we pray and leave? You could have another 1,000 opportunities, but it could be your last opportunity to get right with God. Come on to Jesus, would you? Come on to Jesus. While you still have time and opportunity. Boy, I tell you, we've lived down to the midnight hour. God ain't going to put up with this crowd. Amen. I tell you what, church. Amen. You spit in my face. And I might just find enough God about me to turn the other way and let you get the other side. But that little old blonde-haired lady back yonder, you spit on her, and I'll say, excuse me, Lord, while I take care of his problem. Yes, sir. Now, my God, the church is the bride of Christ. And boy, this whole world's drugged this church through the muck and the mire just about as long as God's going to put up with it. Huh? He's coming. He's going to set this thing in order. Amen. Any day now. Boy, it ain't no time to be backslid on God, Charles. It ain't no time to not be right with God. Jesus is coming, is coming, is coming. My heart is so happy. My soul is so glad. Jesus is coming again. Woo, hallelujah. That's going to solve every problem I got, mister. Yes, sir. Father, I thank you, sir, for these honest hearts. What you've doing and done for these, my friends, around this old altar, dear God of prayer, this evening. Thank you for the very fact that you'll touch us and we can get to enjoy the touch of our Father's hand. Thank you for that precious blood, sir, that washed my sins away. Hallelujah. Well, blessed be God, Jesus, precious, wonderful, a glorious, strong name, I do humbly pray. Hallelujah. Amen.